Zayin Amud Aleph, we're beginning the Gemara. We have a lot to do here and very little time to do it, so hold on to your seats. It's going to be a toss-up to move or to discuss. I don't know if I'll find the right balance. Let's see. Okay. We saw in the Mishnah that there are four judgment days throughout the year. There's Pesach for grain, Shavuos for fruit, Rosh Hashanah for people, and Sukkot for rain. So now we're going to begin discussing these other Rosh Hashanahs, these other judgment days. So the Gemara begins. We said that on Pesach, it's judgment day for the grain. Hey, Tavuah. Now, the thing is that Pesach time is not exactly when grain is starting. Pesach time, the grain is grown, it's almost up to harvest time. So what's being judged? The barley, that's right. So what exactly is being judged? So the Gemara is,
when does grain start?
The winter time, toward the end of winter, Adarish.
A month or so before Pesach.
Yeah. So the Gemara asks, hey Tavua, which grain is being judged on Pesach? Ilema hatvua dekaima? Are we talking about the grain that's here in front of us? Then you have a field full of grown grain. Is that what's being judged? Kalahani halpatki da'adu Allah. All of the events that already happened to this grain has been through already a whole season. Emas itdun. When was that judged? The grain sprouted successfully. It grew successfully. When was that judged? Ela tvua demizdara. So what must we say? That no, it's not referring to this grain. On Pesach, the judgment is passed for the grain of the coming year. The grain that's going to be in about 10-11 months from now. Okay, so this is where we stand. That's what we must say. So the Gemara is, but the Gemara is not so happy with this either. L'meimre dechad din emizdana. Does this mean that yes, grain is only judged once? Those 10 months in advance, and that's that judgment carries it through the next Pesach. Vatanya, we have a brisa that says, "Tivua she'ira bokeri oynes." If you have grain that some sort of mishap happened, so when was that mishap decreed? Koydem haPesach. If the mishap happens before Pesach, nidoynes l'sha'avar. Obviously, it was decreed last Pesach. Le'achah Pesach, if something happened to the grain after Pesach, you haven't harvested it yet. Nidoynes l'aba, obviously it was judged this Pesach. So actually, each grain passes two judgments. Now similarly, by the way, this is an interesting question. Ever wondered about this? What happens if something happens to a person in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? When was that decided? So the Gemara here tells us explicitly, Odom she'ira bo'ikeri ha'ones. If some mishap happens to a person, koydem yom ha'kippurim, if it's before Yom Kippur, nidon l'sha'avar. That's yet from last year's Rosh Hashanah. This year's judgment is not being implemented until Yom Kippur. If something happens between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that's still from last year's judgment. So you find yourself alive on Motzei Rosh Hashanah, that doesn't yet show how you fared on Rosh Hashanah. You have to wait for Motzei Yom Kippur. Bezus Hashem will all be there. Huh? Well, to see if you even made it at all. Right? Once you're there Motzei Yom Kippur, you are granted time. La'acha Yom Kippur, if something happens after Yom Kippur, nidon la'aba. That was decreed this Rosh Hashanah. So Omar Rava, so Rava says, yes, that's right. Shma mina trei dinim mistene. You see that, yes, grain goes through two judgments. It's judged in advance before it's planted and sprouted. And then, when it's already almost ready for harvest, it goes through another Pesach, and then it's judged again. Will it reach the harvest successfully? Now, how is this relevant to us? Or this is relevant to us, even if you're not busy growing grain. So first of all, the Meiri says, it's important to realize, the point that's being conveyed here is that once the grain is almost ready for harvest, people already consider it in their pocket. The Meiri says, keep in mind, this behavior can even make you lose things that you already considered a done deal. So now, Abaye comes with an interesting eitzah. So what are we saying? That once again, grain, it's judged in advance, and then the when you hit next Pesach, another judgment is going to be passed on whatever exists. So I'm Abaye. So listen to this. Abaye often learns from halachas very practical and pragmatic lessons. Abaye says as follows: Hilkach, therefore, Kichazi inish de matzlach zara achu. There are the grains that you plant earlier in the winter, and there are the grains that you plant mamish toward the end of the winter. So, let's say, for example, the barley. Okay? So when you see... I'm sorry. The other way around. Wheat, spelt, these things, they grow slower, and therefore you plant them earlier in the season. When you see that the earlier things are growing nicely, what does that show? That shows that last Pesach you did well, right? That shows that last Pesach you did well. So therefore, liktim v'lizra charpa. There are things that you're going to plant later in the season. You can either plant them closer to Pesach, or you can plant them as early as possible away from Pesach. So Abaye says, try to get them in as early as possible so they are yet included in the previous year's judgment, and that they don't end up still young when the coming Pesach hits, and then they'll be subject to a new judgment. You don't know how it's going to do. You see that your crops are doing well, that means that your Pesach was favorable, so try to get in whatever you can. Okay. Well, before Pesach. Before Pesach, right? That's right. That would be included. If it's ready. If it's ready, right. V'ademati l'medayni, so that way, by the time you hit that next judgment, Pesach, cutting salt, it's already at an advanced stage, you're in a better position. So let's understand this. What is Abaye suggesting here? You can manipulate things with Hashem's judgment? You're going to pull tricks with Hashem? You're going to beat the system? What's Abaye suggesting here? You have to realize it's exactly the other way around. Abaye is trying to train us to live with the consciousness of heavenly judgment. Now, on the contrary, therefore Abaye says, realize, on the contrary, by practicing this, a person is going to be regularly living with that factor of heavenly judgment. If you go ahead and plan your planting according to when the heavenly judgment takes place, that cognizance, that consciousness, is going to affect you in other areas as well, inevitably. So on the contrary, Abaye is saying heavenly judgment should be a real and regular part of your planning, your factors, and your different calculations. Realize the heavenly judgment is a real solid factor in your life. And having said this, I want to take a step further. The Gemara started by saying, it used the term mishap. I just translated a general way mishap. It said, Tumua or Adam, She'ira boy keri oy oynes. That keri or oynes happened to it. We translated that as mishap. But there were two expressions used here. Keri and oynes. What are these two expressions? And literally translated, keri means something that happened by chance. Mikra, it's from the word mikra. Oynes means something that happened against your will. Practical difference? What's the difference? Same idea, right? A mishap. So the Ritva says something which is leads us to another very profound point about this idea of living with that consciousness that you're constantly dealing with heavenly judgment. Keri means mikre. Okay, what we translate as chance, that means something that happens min hashamayim, not by men. Oynes, something that happened against your will, denotes something that happened by man. For example, there was a tornado, that's keri. Keri is a tornado. Okay? Oynes is a robbers came and destroyed your field. Okay? Now this is very interesting. There's a very... What's that? Yeah, but what difference does that make? Yeah, that's in terms of translation. And one time it was a person who did it, and the other time it wasn't a person who did it. What difference does that make to us? So there's something very profound here. The word mikra denotes what? Bidei shamayim. We use the word mikra in terms of chance. Something that happened by itself. Right? But actually, what does that mean? This is, again, something you need to... We should learn to relate to it regularly in life. Anything that happens by itself, what is it actually? Something that Hashem is delivering at your doorstep. I'll give a beautiful example of this, briefly, but it should be brought out. Eliezer, the Gemara tells us, right? The Torah tells the story of Eliezer at great length. There are many, many fundamental parshiyos in the Torah that are much briefer than all the elaboration on Eliezer, right? The Torah tells us yes, because the talk of the servants of the others demands a lot of study. Eliezer says, when he davens to Hashem to bring him the right girl for Yitzchak, how does he word it? He says, Hashem, hakrei lefonai hayoim. Make it happen that the right girl will come. Make a mikra happen. Use the word hakrei. Make a mikra. Make it happen by chance. Now, that is, at least in our concept, a contradiction in terms. You don't plan, you don't ask someone to plan for something to happen by itself. I mean, that's what the word mikra denotes, something happened by itself. Hashem, manipulate it. Hashem, plan it. But what does it mean to say, Hashem, make it happen by itself, or make it happen by chance? Rav Hirsch says, this is why it's worth studying the way Eliezer talks. In Eliezer's mind, there were two things. There's two possibilities. Either something that I planned, or something that Hashem planned for me. Which is more important to you, for your life? Which is more important for your growth? Something that you planned, or something that Hashem designed for you? In Eliezer's mind, mikra simply means something that I didn't plan. If it's something that happens to me that I didn't plan, in our mind, that is a mishap, a freak accident, something that happened by chance. In Eliezer's mind, the word mikra means something that Hashem planned. Anything that happened by chance, in Eliezer's mind, was something that Hashem planned. And this is the way he expressed himself. Hashem, make a mikra. What does mikra mean? Something that Hashem manipulated as opposed to something that I planned. So, once again, this is being expressed here also. When things happen to you throughout the year, nothing happens. Nothing happens to you by chance. You're dealing with Din Shamayim. It's again the same idea of getting used to living with the consciousness of Din Shamayim in your life. Okay, that's as far as that goes. Now we move on. And again, we're still at the stage of the technical workings of the Yom HaDin. So let's see. Remember last time?
Is it possible that Hashem, I don't know if it's a bad time now, but when you say that Hashem is judging grain, what does that mean? Does that mean the grain is getting judged, whether it's misses or fails? Does it mean people are getting judged?
What is the concept of judgment of grain mean?
Yeah.
So this has to be clarified. So certainly the intent is not that grain is judged or grain is innocent. Obviously the intent is that people are being judged. On the contrary, the Maharal asks, why aren't animals judged? Right? How come grain, fruits, and water are not animals? Right? What happened to them? So no, obviously this is all in the general umbrella of man's judgment. Just that man's judgment is spread out in this way. When we say that Hashem judges the grain, the understanding is, how much grain is man going to get this year? How much water is man going to have this year? It's all about man. Rabbi Ruben is asking a good question also. These are all the classic questions that we will be touching on as we move along. We say that how much grain is going to come is decreed on Pesach. But all of man's affairs are decreed on Rosh Hashanah. One of the most fundamental elements of man's affairs is grain, water, right? So, what's going on here? The grain and the water are very basic elements of parnasa, of life. So how does this whole split work? So you know what? We'll see as we move along. I'll just say right now in a general way. What's that?
And the Peiros, right?
The Peiros also, that's right. Right? So now we'll just say in a very general way. In a very general way, the answer to this is that yes, the din is split up in different ways. The judgment about grain is a universal judgment. The world is judged, as we'll see, on a few different levels. There's the personal level, there's the national level, and there's the universal level. The universal, international level. It's decided how much grain there's going to be this year. It's decided how much rain there's going to be this year. But who's going to get that grain, etc., that's not exactly decided yet. In fact, even more than that, we'll see soon. It's decided how much rain there is this year. But what wasn't decided is that rain going to rain over the Atlantic, or is it going to rain over farms? So, we'll see. Hashem specifically sets it up with a bit of complexity for reasons that we'll see as we go along. We're going to move now into a little bit more of the complexity of how this works. Let's see.
Is this Tavua for, on Pesach, Tavua for the whole world, or for Eretz Yisrael?
For the whole world. We're talking about the entire world. Oh, Stan is asking, what does it mean when we say that animals are not judged? No, certainly, when man is judged, it's going to affect his livestock as well. What we mean is, there isn't the universal judgment of all the animals in the world in this sense. They kind of run according to a certain natural system, and that isn't, there aren't major judgments upon that. But they might be included in man's personal judgment, or in the judgment of a certain country. Yeah, but there isn't a judgment specific to animals. Judgment on grain will obviously affect the animals, but that's all going to stem from the judgment on man. That's right. Animals will definitely prosper or suffer being affected by man. Okay. Now we move on. We're going to get a little bit more into the mechanics, if we'll use that word, of how the Yemei Hadin work. Mani Matznisin. Our Mishnah said four different judgment days, and man's is in two installments. It's set up on Rosh Hashanah, finalized on Yom Kippur, right? Mani Masnis. Who is the Mishnah following? Because there are actually four opinions as to how the din works. And simply understood, our Mishnah doesn't seem to be following any of the known opinions. Lo Rav Meir doesn't seem to follow Rav Meir, Lo Rav Yehuda, Lo Rav Yosi, Lo Rav Nosson. It doesn't seem to follow any of the known shitas as to how the din works. The Tanya. It says in the Brisa. This Brisa presents the Shitas. Hakol Nidoinin b'Rosh Hashanah. Everyone is judged on Rosh Hashanah. Ugzan Din Shalahem Nechtam B'Yom HaKippurim. And the judgment is sealed on Yom Kippur. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Everything. There are no four judgments. It's all just on Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah is certainly not following him, right? Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. Hakol Nidoinin b'Rosh Hashanah. Everyone is judged on Rosh Hashanah. Ugzad din shelahim, but the din is sealed. Nechtam kol echad ve'echad bizmano. The din is sealed at different times. The Pesach al atvua, Pesach the grain, Atzeres al peiros se'ilan, Shavuos is the fruit, Bechag nidoinim al amayim, Sukkos is the water, Ba'adam nidoin be'Rosh Hashanah, and man is judged initially on Rosh Hashanah. Ugzad din shelahim nechtam b'yom HaKippur. And the Gzadin is finalized on Yom Kippur. That's closest to our Mishnah. Let's assume, meanwhile, that maybe our Mishnah is following that. We'll wait for the Gemara to analyze. Rabbi Yosi Oimer, listen to what he says. Adam Nidain Bechol Yoin. Judgment is passed on man every day. Shneimar, as it says in the Pasuk, Vatifkidenu Libkarim. You visit him every day. You come to check man out every day. Our Mishnah is certainly not following that. It would be 365 judgment days, right? Rabbi Nosson Oimer. Rabbi Nosson is even further. Adam Nidoin Bechol Sha'a. Man is judged at every hour. Hear that? Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, L'regoyim Tivchenenu. You are examining man every moment. Mishnah is certainly not following that. So, the closest candidate we have in this brisa is Rabbi Yehuda, who said that everyone is judged on Rosh Hashanah, and there are four finalizing days. So So the chitema la'olam Rabbi Yehuda. So maybe you'll suggest that our mission is following Rabbi Yehuda. The chitani masnis in agzadin, and the Mishnah, which divides it into four times, it's referring to the conclusion of the din. Yes, everyone is judged on Rosh Hashanah. The conclusion is at these four different times: Pesach, Yom Kippur, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Iachi, but if that's the case, kasha adam, it doesn't work out, because if the Mishnah is referring to the finalizing of the din, then won't work out, because the Mishnah put Rosh Hashanah together with Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, and what happens to the grain and the water and fruit on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot happens to man on Rosh Hashanah, right? That's how the Mishnah put it. That should mean that if all the Mishnah means is that the din is finalized for grain, fruit, and water on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, that would mean that the din is finalized for man on Rosh Hashanah. But the Mishnah doesn't say that. So therefore the Mishnah is not following Rabbi Yehuda either. So let's just boil it down, not to have too many details. We have four opinions in the Braisa. Everything is on Rosh Hashanah? That's for men. Rabbi Yehuda. Everything starts on Rosh Hashanah and is finalized at different times. Then we have the Shita that says every day and every hour. But our Mishnah holds otherwise. Our Mishnah holds that no, Rosh Hashanah is only about men, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and all these other entities have their own Yom Adin. So Omar Rava said, you're right, it's a fifth Shita. Tana de Be'er Rabbi Yishmael. It's the Tana of the Yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael. The Tana de Be'er Rabbi Yishmael. Barba Prokim Ha'olam Nidon. At four times the world is judged. The Pesach Al Atvua, Pesach on the grain, Atzeres Al Peres Ilan, Shavuos for the fruit, the Chag Nidonim Al Amayim, Sukkot for the water. The other Nidon de Rosh Hashanah Gzadin Shalei Nechtan B'Yom HaKippur. And man is judged on Rosh Hashanah and finalized in Yom Kippur. The Chiktani Masnisin, and our Mishnah talks about Chilastin. When it says a man is judged on Rosh Hashanah, it means begins on Rosh Hashanah, it's finalized in Yom Kippur, like this Tana said. Okay, fine. Now we're just going to finish clarifying these sheets, and then we're really going to get into the essence of what's going on. So Amar Rav Chisda, my time with Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi said that man is judged every day. What's his reason? The Gemara says, well, Kidkaomar Tame. He already said his reason. Pasuk says, Vatif Kidenu Libkarim. You come and you visit man every day. So what are you asking? What's his source? The Gemara answers, Anan Hochi Tame. No, what we meant to say is as follows. My time Eloyomar Kerab Nasi. Rav Nosson also has a pasuk that says it happens every moment. You examine man every moment. Why did he choose the day over the moment? Answer is, Bechina Iyun Ba'almi. Because he says, when it says that Hashem examines man every moment, examine doesn't necessarily denote full-fledged judgment. Hashem checks it out, that's all. Kidanami Iyun Ba'almi. If that's the reason he rejected Rav Nosson's pasuk for every moment, and his pasuk also has the same connotation. But the Kedemel of Karin, you visit man every day. Don't say anything about judging. He monitors, that's all. Elo Omar Chisda. So rather, Chisda says, Tameid Rabbi Yosi Mehoch. Rabbi Yosi's reasoning is as follows. Asois mishpat avdei u'mishpat amo Yisrael dvaryein b'yoyim. Shlomo HaMelech is davening to Hashem. He says, you will do the judgment of your servant, meaning of the king, Mishpatam Yisrael, in judgment of your nation Israel, Vayayim B'yayimai, every day. That's the source that it happens every day. Okay. Then we organize the sheetus. Now we're really going to start getting into the essence of it. But I just want to throw out two questions that we're not going to answer yet, but we'll get to it. So we have a big machloikis. Is man judged every day? Or does the judgment happen on Rosh Hashanah? Meaning, is there judgment going on regularly or no? It's all decided on Rosh Hashanah and that's that. So let me ask a double question. According to Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Nosson, Do they deny Rosh Hashanah as a Yom HaDin? Meaning they had a regular Yom Tov davening on Rosh Hashanah in their shul and they went home as normal? Rosh Hashanah is not a Yom HaDin? That's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is, according to the Chachamim, the Gemara is going to ask this soon, but I want to bring it out already now. According to the Chachamim, no, Din is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and that's that. What's the point of davening throughout the year? Right? You're davening Rifa'enu already 10 minutes after Yom Kippur ended. What are you davening for? It was decided, sealed, etched in stone, and that's that. What are you davening for throughout the year? So right now, I'm just going to give a hazy answer to this question, and we're going to get more into the details of it as we go along. The answer is that, obviously, both agree that both are true. The way the Meiri puts this, Rav Dessler, etc., ultimately it's all true. There is judgment going on at all these different times. Just what? And this is a very important point to bring out right away. Everybody agrees that our lives are being laid out according to a correlation of Din Shamayim and our actions. Meaning this Din Shamayim sets things up in a certain way, and our actions are constantly adjusting, readjusting that Din Shamayim. The question is exactly how that works, and that's what they're arguing here. So sure, everybody agrees that there's a Din on Rosh Hashanah. Everybody agrees that that can be adjusted on a daily basis. But the question is, to what extent, how does that work? That's what we'll see as we go along. And this again, is really just bringing home the point again of the consciousness of living with the daily cognizance of Din Shamayim in our lives, and of how our actions all the time are busy affecting it in one way or the other. But let's see. We'll see. We'll see. As we move along, we'll see it. Right now, like I said, I'm putting it down in a hazy way. We'll see it worked out better as we go along. Right now, a couple of points. Amar Abchisna. Here we're going to slow down a little bit. Amar Abchisna. We just cited a pasuk where Shlomo HaMelech says, you will pass judgment on your servant, meaning on me, Shlomo HaMelech, and on your nation every day. So Abchisna learned something from this. Melech v'tzibor, when you have a king, and you have a tzibor, the nation, Melech nichnas tchila l'din. The king is judged first. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, La'asos mishpat avde, mishpat am Yisrael. How did Shlomo express it? You pass judgment on me, Shlomo HaMelech, and on your nation. The king is judged first. My timer, why is that? So he puts it down in a very simplified form. Iba Yisema, two answers. La'avayrach are le'meisav malke me'avroi. It isn't fitting that the king should wait in the waiting room while others are being judged. And therefore, out of respect for the king, he is brought in first to be judged. Okay? The Iba Yisema. Another answer is, Mikami Delepush Haroina. We want the king to be judged immediately because the judgment of the king has national stakes, right? The judgment of one particular fellow, it's only him. But the judgment that's passed on the king ultimately is going to affect the entire nation, right? So therefore, we want the king to be judged earlier when things are more favorable. Why? As the day goes on and more averus are accumulating, the judgment is getting harsher and harsher. And therefore, we want the king to be judged when the mood is still good, if we'll use those words. And this obviously is very cryptic. And also, what lesson does this contain for us? So the Maharal really brings this point home. And he says, we have to understand what's really being stated here. First of all, the Maharal says, and we're going to see this discussed later in the Gemara, we're not talking about time here. Hashem doesn't operate with time. It's not one person after the other. If it was, it would never end. Right? It's all in one moment. What we mean here really is something else. Who comes first? Who's positioned first in the din? And what that means is as follows. As we discussed before, the world is judged on a personal level, each person his own story, but at the same time, there's also judgment that's passed for the world in general. For each country as a whole, what's the country? The country is the whole of its parts. Each person adds up and contributes to the national picture. Din is passed for the country. The entire world adds up and judgment is passed for the world. World events are determined according to how the world is doing.
Okay?
So now, often with that mathematics, let's say you have this plus this times this divided by this minus this, there are rules of what you do first, because depending on whether you do the multiplication or the subtraction first, the end result is going to be very different. So here the question is, when we are judging the world, and Hashem is judging the world, depending on who He factors in first, the universal outcome is going to be different. Because if we, let's say we take all the worst people first, then every person who's coming after that, there's already being set in place all kinds of negatives. And that person is now being judged within those confines. Whereas if it's the other way around, please speak up if this isn't clear. Whereas if it's the other way around, if the righteous people are being judged first, so the world is already being set, laid out in a more positive way. And if later there are wicked people who come along, it doesn't have as broad an effect. Meaning, in other words, each person's individual judgment is his own personal judgment, and he is also laying down a factor in the world judgment. After you're done, let's say you are number 5,608 in line, you have to realize that by the time you're done, you have now contributed to this slowly accumulating, this slowly developing world judgment.
And if a person who has a butter or not, who can do everything but one at a time. Because for a
Oh, so to me, yes. So aren't we getting back to the time factor? Aren't we getting back to the time factor? So the answer is that no, this is not, it's not an issue of the time factor. It's an issue of who's positioned where. Meaning, on the contrary, Hashem Dafka does not set it up such that we took it all together and we factor it all together. No. There are people who play a more who have a more fundamental place in the universal judgment, and then there are people who are more peripheral. And that's why Hashem sets it up, and on the contrary, as we're going to see here, Hashem Dafka sets that up in a favorable way. Who's the king? The king is a person who, the Maharal says, really, what's true for the king is just an illustration of the way it works in a general way. The king is a person who has his own chashivas. He's not just one of the crowd. He's not just one of the crowd. And on the contrary, he affects much more of the crowd. Much more of the crowd is dependent on him. And therefore, in order to better the whole crowd, Hashem puts him in a more favorable place. And also besides that, since he's less a part of the whole crowd, since he stands out as a figure in himself, it's only fitting that his judgment should be less dependent on that of the whole crowd. That's really what's being stated. What is the difference? The Maharal says that really, Rav Chisda was alluding to the fact that this is how it works with the Jewish people. This is how it works with the Jewish people. The Maharal says the Jewish people are all kings. That's included in the term Mamleches Kayhani. And here we have to understand something very egocentric, but very fundamental to Judaism. The judgment of the world revolves around the Jewish people. If we're going to talk now in terms of the Jewish people, which is the way the Maharal puts it down, how should the din work? Again, we have the universal judgment. Should we say, look how depraved the world is out there? Right? Let's judge, I don't know, Hollywood first. Let's judge San Francisco first. No San Franciscans here, are there? But let's judge San Francisco first. How is that going to affect what's coming? Right? And if the Jews come after the Italians and the Puerto Ricans, etc., it's a pretty lousy situation. We have to realize that really it's the other way around. All of it is really revolving around the Jewish people. And therefore, the Jewish people as the Melech, first of all, on the contrary, really, the judgment of the whole world revolves around them. Countries will have their fate determined according to the role they're supposed to play in the Jewish people's destiny. This can work in a few ways. Let's say, for example, the Jewish people need to find haven in a certain place. Hashem will decree if that country is now going to prosper. Why? Because ultimately they're needed for the Jewish people's destiny. Or let's say Chas v'Shalom the other way around. Let's say the Jewish people are not in a good state. Hashem will say, well, these guys over here hate the Jews. You know what? They're going to do very well this year. Chas v'Shalom. But the judgment of the world revolves around the judgment of the Jews. And therefore the Jews are a more central building block. This is really what's being stated here. It's also true on the individual level. We won't go to that extent. But the Maharal brings it down very strongly in this way. That first, the Jews are judged. Because first of all, they're not just part of the world, like the Gemara said here. They are their own entity, they're more chashuv. And therefore it's not fitting that they should just be dependent on the rest of the world. Second of all, on the contrary, the point is the Jews, and therefore Hashem doesn't want them to suffer for the sins of the rest of the world. Let the rest of the world suffer for the sins of the Jews, that yes. That yes. But let the Jews be judged first. And then, depending on how they fared, we'll move on to the rest of the world. Therefore, the Maharal says, Yichoykli Yisrael hu, what does it say about Rosh Hashanah? Yichoykli Yisrael hu, mishpat le'elokei Yaakov. It's a judgment for the God of Yaakov. It's judgment for the entire world. Why are we stressing Hashem is the God of Yaakov when it's judgment for the entire world? Well, the answer is, once again, this egocentric point. It's judgment for the entire world, but he's judging the entire world as the God of Yaakov per se. When he's judging all the different nations, the question is, how do they fit into the plan of the Jewish people? And that's how they're going to be judged. This is not politically correct, but this is essential truth. Seventy souls corresponding to the entire world. That's right. Very good. Very good. Oh, you're asking a very good question. I'm standing asking a good question. He says, so 1 minute. At the end of the day, fine, forget the Jews, forget the Tzaddikim. Once we're already at the regular people, or the Rishayim, or let's say once we're already talking on the individual personal level, we're not talking Dilah, we're talking ordinary Jews. That's a misnomer, by the way, there is no such thing as an ordinary Jew. But for reference purposes, right? Regular Jews, okay? We're seeing here that there's an order system. Right? There are those that are more fundamental parts of the building blocks, and then there are those who come later. How's that determined? So Rabbi Tzvi Blazer, the foremost Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, has a very long discussion about this. He says, we see here clearly in the Gemara that yes, it's favorable to be earlier in line. How do you get yourself earlier in line? And he infers it from a Gemara later that we're probably not going to see this year at the rate we're going. But the Gemara later, he says that basically the Gemara gives three groups. The greater a person is, the earlier he's going to be. That's one thing. Meaning, yes, the less of a just the one of the crowd you are, and the more individual merit you have in your own right, besides the fact that that itself is going to get you a more favorable judgment, but that's also going to put you earlier in the building blocks, which will get you a better judgment, and will also ultimately affect the universal judgment in a better way. He says that there are those that it's just a mystery why they come first. But then there are those, and he says, this is what we should consider most relevant to us, that the earlier you present yourself for judgment, the earlier you'll be judged. This point is the point that he develops most. And therefore he says, this really is the essence of Elul, of preparation, to come before Rosh Hashanah, and already begin, so to speak, we won't use the word negotiating, but we'll find a more fitting equivalent. To begin interacting with Hashem, to begin already discussing with Hashem, I know the position I'm in, I'm taking steps already, not to just come on Rosh Hashanah. You come on Rosh Hashanah, you're late in the line. You come before Rosh Hashanah. You come as early as you can, and you begin this process. That puts you earlier in the line. And therefore, for example, the way the Kadmonim put this down is, why is it so fundamental to begin the preparations before Rosh Hashanah? Well, besides the fact that if you don't, you're taking Rosh Hashanah by surprise. But they say, based on the din of, you know, there's a din ma'ida b'knas patur. Right, there are penalties. The person who steals has to pay double. any situation where you're not paying the principal, you're paying an extra penalty, the din is, if you show up in Beis Din before witnesses testify against you, and you say, hey, I committed this crime, I'm subject to this penalty, you're off the hook. Right? If you confess to a penalty, you're off the hook. If witnesses testify against you, you pay. So, this is the idea. You beat it before the judge, before the court opens. You come in and you say, Rabbi Sai, I want to confess something. You've already have it dealt with beforehand. This is, all this is part of the importance of not waking up on Rosh Hashanah, waking up before it. Okay, we'll move on. I don't think so. I don't think so. You're asking, is a person who's done in different parts of the timeline in a more favorable place? I don't think so because, let's get back to the point we said before, really it's not a matter of time. At the end of the day, it's not a matter of time. At the end of the day, it all does come together in one split instant. Up in Shamayim, here in this world, time moves. Up in Shamayim, there's that one split instant. It's all at the same time. Right? It plays out here over 10 hours. There it does. Okay. Let's move on. On Rav Yosef. Here Rav Yosef asks the question we asked earlier. Keman matzlinan ha'ichne aktsiri va'amiri. Who are we following today when we daven for sick people and when we daven for the weak that they shouldn't get sick? Keman k'Rav Yosef. Who are we following? We're following the sheep of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says there's judgment every day. Right? So therefore we daven for the sick. Then we come back to our question. Really? According to Chachamim, there's no such thing as davening for the sick? Delete the Mishaberach from the Siddur? If you delete the Mishaberach, you're going to run into a bigger problem, because what are you going to do with big segments of Shemoneh Esrei? You daven Baruch Aleinu in Shemoneh Esrei, you daven Refaeinu in Shemoneh Esrei. So let's ask this question. Everybody agrees to the Nusach of Shemoneh Esrei. What's going on here? And therefore, I'm also going to bring in the other side of the question. Does Rabbi Yossi hold that there's no din on Rosh Hashanah? So the nice way it comes out is like this. We'll do this briefly. The way Rabbeinu Tam puts it is, many things about the original din on Rosh Hashanah are left open-ended to an extent. For example, Rabbeinu Tam says something very strange. He says, it could be decreed that a person will become sick on Rosh Hashanah, but it stops there. Will he become better? When will he become better? How fast will he become better? What will it lead to? That's not decreed. Person will become sick, that's all. And therefore, yes, even according to the Chachamim, that was sealed in on Yom Kippur, it's still left open-ended, how long will the sickness continue? When will he get better? And therefore there's what to daven for. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, however, Rabbi Natan says, what we say is only according to Rabbi Yossi, you can't daven, according to the Chachamim, you can't daven that a person should not become sick. That you're not going to change. Whatever was decreed will happen. Just, there are a lot of elements of the decree that are left open-ended. Very, very interesting and novel concept. Also more than that, like we said before, parnasa can happen in all kinds of different ways. Let's say a person was really, really good Rosh Hashanah time. As soon as Yom Kippur was over, he dropped everything and went out and partied. Does that mean that he's going to have a good year because Hashem is stuck? He already sealed things in on Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Hashem can take that judgment, because like we said before, things are left open. Hashem can take that judgment and manipulate it in all kinds of ways. It was decreed upon you that you should make $1 million this year. Fine. You know what Hashem will do? Hashem will put a bug into your head. What? That's one thing. You can make a bad investment. Or Hashem can put a bug into your head to do it in some weird way that will get you into trouble. You'll have it all confiscated. So, yes, things are laid out, but there's still a lot of room for where it's going to go and what direction it's going to go. And similarly, with Rabbi Yossi, it's a similar idea. Now, just according to the Chachamim, what actually was set down will not be changed. But Hashem leaves himself room for manipulating. And therefore there is room for tefillahs. You can't daven to change what was decreed, but you could daven for it to manifest in different ways. A person sees that he's sick, he could say, okay, Hashem, you decreed on me to be sick, give me a refuah quickly. that you can daven. According to Rabbi Yossi, no. You can even daven that it doesn't happen in the first place because you're judged in the first place every day. Now, he also agrees though, here's how the Maharal puts it down, Ben Yishchai similarly. He also agrees that there's a din on Rosh Hashanah. Just, unlike the Chachamim who say that the din on Rosh Hashanah will not change, there's just certain elements of flexibility within the decree, Rabbi Yossi says that's not so. The din is laid down on Rosh Hashanah, but every day, he says, for example, the Maharal says like this. Let's say it was decreed, this year, Chas V'Shalom, a person is going to become very sick. According to the Chachamim, he'll become sick. He's going to go through aggravation. Maybe he'll be able to get himself better. According to Rabbi Yossi, it doesn't work that way. Din that he'll become sick. But the way it works is, every day there's going to be a new judgment. Should that sentence be implemented today? So therefore, yes, he has that sentence hanging over his head. But whether it will be implemented and when will depend on the daily judgment. So therefore, everyone agrees that Rosh Hashanah sets the tone for your year. The question is, how much flexibility is there? But the bottom line, as far as we're concerned of all of this, is you are definitely, there's definitely the things that are sealed in on Rosh Hashanah. There's definitely the affecting that you can do throughout the year. But you have to realize that once Rosh Hashanah went by, according to Rabbi Yossi less so, according to Chachamim more so, it's harder to change things. And therefore you do much better by getting yourself a favorable judgment in the first place than afterwards being locked into certain confines and seeing how you can wiggle within those confines. But yes, there's always point in daven. But in fact, now the Gemara takes it a step further. Iba is saying, or it also could be Ra'olam Kirabon. Could be that even according to the Chachamim, yes, you can daven for anything. You can daven that you should not get sick. Okay, the Rabbi Yitzchak. It's like Rabbi Yitzchak said. The Omar Rabbi Yitzchak. Yopet Tzaokol Ha'odom Mekodim Zadim Ve'Nachas Zadim. It's always good to cry out, whether before the Gzadim or after the Gzadim. Meaning now we're taking a step further. We're saying, even according to Chachamim that it's sealed on Yom Kippur, it can be changed. Just, it's going to be much harder. According to Rabbi Yossi, everything is always up for discussion. According to Chachamim, that's not so. Once it's locked in, it's locked in. Just, superhuman efforts can change it. And therefore, there is a point in davening. But, it's already much harder. So therefore, once again, you have to realize, Rosh Hashanah is an opportunity. If you miss that opportunity, you're not in a good position. That does not mean, however, that you should give up. Because great efforts to change things can change them. Just, it's more difficult. Okay? We reached the point where I thought I was going to get at the end of the first year. So, okay, we'll continue with Hashem on Sunday.